today we look at this topic called scare pollution. And last week, Sarah introduced this series to us, Soul Detox by Craig Rochelle. And it's about getting basically our internal worlds, our lives together, our spiritual lives together, the way we think, the way we act, the internal things that go on in our lives. And this week, we look at this idea of scare pollution and unlocking the chokehold of fear. Well, there's this quote in the start of the book, and when you get to read it, I do encourage you to have a look at it. Some great thoughts in here. It says, "We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, for faith and not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality." To live by worry is to live against reality. For faith and not for fear. And this is the idea that we're looking at this morning, this idea that we have to learn to live by faith. What does it look like to live by faith and not by fear? Well, I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that anxiety, worry is a real, real thing in today's world. Mental health disorders, challenges, whatever you want to call them, is more real than ever. And what I love about the world today is when I sort of grew up, I'm getting a bit older now, but back in my younger day, you really couldn't talk much about mental health or what's going on inside your head, so to speak. You sort of were on the outer if you did that. Now, what's really healthy, I think, about today's language and the way we talk is it's okay to have like a mental health day, isn't it? It's okay to say, I'm struggling with this issue, or I need time, or I need space to deal with something. And I think this is a really healthy part of where we are. But according to Beyond Blue, in Australia alone, 17% of us would have gone through some sort of real anxiety over the last 12 months. So that's basically one in five in this room. We're dealing with anxiety. And it's not something to joke about, but it's something very real. I want to tell you about my five top fears in Sydney. I've only been in Sydney 16 months. And you have to bear with me because some of these things you might think aren't very fearful for you or not much of a worry for you. But the first one is, they'll see pictures on the screen here, it's the bridge climb. Now, I'm not one for heights, but I don't really, really desire to go on the bridge climb. My wife talks about it every time we're in Sydney. So if anyone wants a partner to go on the bridge climb, please take Kylie and enjoy those amazing views. Hands up if you've been on the bridge climb, I'm sure. Oh, look at this. Goodness. It's very impressive. All right, my second fear is when you approach the bridge. Now, I do a lot of driving. My job, I look after what they call public relations, New South Wales, the Salvation Army. So I got lots of functions and meetings, and I spend a lot of time in the car. And I still fear every time I approach the bridge and there's 10 lanes to choose from. Is anyone else with me there? Like, I don't know. There's something about, I need to go fix those signs one day, because there's still this thing that says tunnel, bridge, and then I go, I'm going to the bridge, and then it says tunnel, and then there's this one lane I have to swing over to get into the bridge. And anyway, I have been known to be quite late to quite a few meetings because I've got on the wrong lane or the wrong bridge or the wrong tunnel. Anyway, that's one of my fears. I've been walking recently with Kylie. During lockdown, we went along the Parramatta River, and we came across a little friend there, a little scaly friend, called the red-bellied black snake. Now, I was reading about this. I think Cumberland Shire, it's one of the most common snakes in the Cumberland Shire. I don't know. Has anyone had a red-bellied black snake in their backyard? Oh, my goodness me. There's quite a few of them. Anyway, just one of my little fears. So hopefully no one will put one on my music stand or anything one day. But my fourth top fear of Sydney. Now, I'm not much of a shopper, all right? Those that like shopping, I I pray for you, but anyway, I don't like shopping. My idea of shopping is like Amazon, eBay, just a couple of clicks on the iPad, gets delivered to your door. You know, you don't waste hours and hours walking around shopping centres trying to find parks. But I do go to Castle Towers sometimes. And the Castle Towers car park, who knows how to... I don't know, for whatever reason, every time I get in the Castle Towers car park, there was once I went in the movie section there and I just thought I'd go one or two levels up or down or something. And it took me like three quarters an hour to get out of the car park. And then I just went to that section, whatever that's called, and I went up on the third level again. It took me so long to find a park, and then when you're coming out of the... Anyway, so just go to Amazon. Saves you hours. And my final fear, it's not just in Sydney. It's been for a long time, and I apologise for all those coffee lovers out there, is this brand of coffee called International Roast. Sorry, guys. If I come and visit you at your house, it's no offence if I say, and they go, would you like a coffee or tea? I quite often just say, I'll have a tea, thank you. That doesn't necessarily mean I like tea, but I like it better than International Roast coffee. So are we serving that this morning, Sarah? Oh, phew. Yeah, was lucky. And hopefully the owner of International Roast isn't in the building today. But I am a bit of a coffee snob, so I really like Milk Lab almond milk flat white. So if you're going to make me a coffee, just make sure it's Milk Lab almond milk flat white. But we'll get back to the topic. We have here four common fears, and obviously this is a serious topic. Four common fears Craig Rochelle talks about. He says here, the fear of loss, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of the unknown. And these four fears, I'm sure we could all tell stories about. We could all look in our own lives and find things that we have been fearful of. As we're talking about mothers today, my mother's 88, and some of you know about a month ago we had a bit of a scare. We thought we were going to lose my mother. And, you know, she's 88, and obviously as you get older, no one has to be really smart to know this, but as you get older, you get closer to dying, and that's a reality of life. But when we had a phone call that said there's 10% chance that mum's going to pull through. She was in the hospital, etc. So we sort of rushed down to Melbourne. Thank God she has pulled through. She's alive today, which is fabulous, and she's doing really well. But straight away, I was looking at these two losses, the fear of loss, the possibility of losing my mother, the fear of the unknown. What does it look like to live life without my mum around? And I know many of you, again, here have been through that recently. You've lost parents, you've lost loved ones. And it's a real fear for all of us to lose people in our lives. But God is there with us. God is there with us. And we have to learn to live with these things in our lives, don't we? Things are going to happen in our lives that are going to rock our worlds. We're going to lose loved ones at some stage in our lives. People are going to lose jobs. There's going to be financial stress. There's going to be all sorts of things happen. And how do we get through those times? Well, the key verse for the day that Craig uses is a verse from Paul's letter to Timothy. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love and sound mind. Sarah mentioned before that I'm involved with some Red Shield, what we call launch events around the state. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Newcastle, and you'll see a picture on the screen here of Laurie and Beck. And Beck was our testimonial, like Daniel was on Friday. You did a fabulous job, Daniel. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And it takes a lot of courage to share your story. And Beck got up and told her story. If you want to hear Beck's story, it's actually on Four Corners. You can go into YouTube and look it up. Beck, some of you may have seen this episode, but Beck was in prison six times. She's been in prison. And her story was just one of incredible courage. And she had a lot of fears in her life, a lot of things she had to deal with. And one of her little fears was actually getting up last year to be interviewed by me at a launch event and tell her story to about 300 in the room. And she got up and told her story, and her story's just horrific. I won't unpack it all for you this morning, but in and out of prison, lots of substance abuse, all sorts of things. But she got to the other side and she bravely shared her story on stage. The amazing thing that happened at the end of the story, at the end of the event, this gentleman came up, Laurie, and Laurie said to her, "I'd like to offer you a job." She's like, "What?" And she was just so overcome and emotional. And I just ran into her again last week, and she's had this, she's had promotions. She now has a full-time job. She's doing amazing. She said, she joked when she gave her testimonial that this, she said, "There's no way anyone's going to employ me." She said, "When they do police checks on me, it's about 25 pages comes through through the computer." And when you hear stories like this, when you hear stories of people just turn their lives around just amazingly, and they overcome all these fears, all these trepidations, all these worries, and all these things they've been addicted to or they've held on to, and they can't seem to see the other side. And you see someone like Becky get through it. It's just so inspirational. And then this guy, Laurie, I had to get the picture together because I said, "Laurie, you're an absolute legend. The way you just straight off the event, he's like the mayor of Central Coast or something up that way." But he had all these businesses and he said, "You know, Becky, I just love your personality, your honesty. I trust you. I'm going to employ you." And it's those stories where you see people overcome their fears. It often takes a group. It takes people. It takes people around you to believe in you. One of the great things about doing life groups at the moment is we have the opportunity to share our stories. We're better in community, aren't we? We're better with others helping us to get through our fears, through anxieties, our concerns in life. Fear is placing your faith in what-ifs rather than God is, it says in this book. Fear is placing your faith in what-ifs rather than God is. It was 2000 when this became a reality in my life. It's 22 years ago now, but I was a school teacher, a music teacher, and I was approached about taking on a job as a youth pastor at a local Salvation Army church, and I had a lot of fears, I had a lot of concerns about doing this, but I also felt a real strong call from God to go into full-time ministry. And a lot of conversations happened, a lot of things happened, and basically it got down to the end, if I was really honest, about the money. We had a mortgage at the time in Melbourne, and I thought, there's no way I think we can do this. Like, it's, you know, 15 grand difference or something. And none of it sort of calculated, made no sort of worldly sense to sort of switch careers. And I remember one of my school teacher mates saying to me, "Oh, that's awesome. You're getting this new job at the Salvos. What's the pay rise? Like, what are you doing?" I said, "It's like a pay drop of like 15,000. They go, "Why would you do that?" And I said, you know, and it made no sense. It made no sense to the average person. But Kylie and I prayed about this. We had faith to take this challenge, to take this step into ministry, for full-time ministry. And the amazing thing is God came through. And not that I should ever have doubted, but literally like 2 weeks after accepting this position, Kylie was offered a job that basically made up the complete difference in our salaries. And I was absolutely blown away. And I thought, if I didn't actually step, you know, as Peter steps out of the boat, for those who know that story, if I didn't actually step out of the boat, if I didn't take that risk, I wouldn't have given God a chance to come through and fill that fear with faith. And that's what I really believe we need to do as Christ followers, as people that believe in God. We have to take those risks, but also believe that God is a God who can provide. So I was learned a massive lesson, and it's when you take those little steps and then bigger steps that your faith increases, doesn't it? You take more risks, you take more faith steps, and you even move to Sydney and go on a freeway with 10 lanes and still believe you can make it. But Jesus says this: "Can any of you, by worrying add a single hour to your life? Any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And that is true, isn't it? It's worrying doesn't change anything. We worry, we take on things, we take on all these expectations, but it doesn't actually add anything to our lives. And so we need to stay positive. We need to stay connected to God. We need others to help us through these times. I encourage you to detox off social media occasionally, detox off screens occasionally. There's all these things you can do to help yourself. I think going for walks without gadgets that keep ringing and buzzing and telling you what to do, or people are trying to connect with you or contact you, find some spaces in your life where you actually clear your mind and your soul and rely more on God. I just want to finish with a closing story. I find inspiration by a lot of older Salvation Army people. For those who don't know, the Salvation Army is about 150 years old, and I love some of the stories of some of our old pioneers, and I'm a bit of a history person. It's a bit quirky and weird, but that's who I am, and I've written a book about some of these stories. But there's this particular guy I love called Fighting Mac. And I love the story of Fighting Mac. It was 1915, basically, this clergyman, as they called him, a major, William McKenzie, World War I, went to Gallipoli, 1915. And the reason I tell you his story this morning is he was quoted as the most courageous man. Out of all the troops in the war, he was the most courageous man. He was a major. He was a Salvation Army officer and the most courageous man in the war. And I'll just read this. This is the new biography that's come out just Anzac this year that I've been reading. And absolutely amazing story. He did 647 funerals in 3 days. He would go around on the fields of Gallipoli and literally pick up gentlemen, bring them back, bury them. Amazing, amazing stories. He was a Scotsman. He was a boxer. They said his hands were the biggest hands anyone had seen. And occasionally if people tried to take him on or there was little skirmishes happening, he would deal with them appropriately, as you do as a Salvation Army officer, and make sure there was no trouble ever again. All these amazing stories. He would go into the worst pubs, the worst places in society, and sort out issues in a Christian sort of manner. Incredibly courageous man who had so much influence on so many people, and so many people tell stories about him. The man the Anzacs revered. I tell you that story because William McKenzie talks about his faith, and he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's a verse in Hebrews 11. And if you read this chapter in Hebrews 11, it lists all these people that lived by faith in scriptures, all these people that did extraordinary things for God because they had faith over fear. They believed in God more than they believed in worldly values and worldly thinking. And friends, that's what I encourage you to do this morning. As we reflect on this passage, as we reflect what it means to live without fear, I pray that you'll ask God to help you with this, that God will come into your life, that God will give you wisdom, and that you'll have the courage to step out and do extraordinary things for him.